isn't like tomorrow you're going to be arguing that a Pentecostal preacher is going to try to prove that you should speak in tongues. And you'll probably get a whole lot more out of it. Alright? Now, but especially that you may prophesy. Alright, so we know why now. Why? Because they need revelation, don't they? So they need direction and guidance, and they need to speak forth the Word of God. They don't need to be impressing each other by just talking about the great things God has done in tongues. And that's what he's going to go on to say. Chapter 14 is the primary text where Pentecostals go to for justification of the speaking of tongues. It's just the opposite of what they go to for. Chapter 14 will be a general correction and condemnation of the use of tongues and the abuses of tongues. And he's going to tell them that it would be much better not to do it, except in the case where unbelievers are present. And what they're going to do is pull everything out of it and use the exact opposite. What did he tell them? Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. What are most groups of people trying to do? Not prophesy, try to speak in tongues. Well, why? Because they realize themselves, they already got the prophecy, don't they? In the Word of God. Most Pentecostals will, at first at least, admit to me that the Bible is all we need. Well, once they say that, they say that the knowledge, the prophecy has been what? Made perfect. Well, that which is in part shall be done away with, and what was listed in the middle of it. Right? Sandwiched right in between. Tongues. So they hang themselves. Is that, did I run that by too fast? Want me to run that by again? Everybody got that? Everybody? You too? Everybody? You too? I'm going to run that by again? I'll run it by again. I'll ask the Pentecostals. We got the Bible. Is it all we need to go to heaven? And some Pentecostals have been through this before. They'll say, no. We need more. Latter-day Revelation. Where's all those passages we can go to prove that we got all that we need right here? Jude verse 3. Bible's all we need. Jude verse 3. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and following. 3:16-17. Jude 3, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. And 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Jude 3, contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Okay. Now, so the point is this, but you ask, here's the argument again, for those who wanted it now. The argument is, you ask a Pentecostal, is the Bible all we need? Most of them will say yes. When they say yes, then they're saying that we don't need prophecy then, because prophecy was to give us the Word of God. Proof of that would be Ephesians 3, verse 5 again, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now, first century, revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So what were the prophets for? The revealing of the knowledge. Well, we got all the knowledge we need to get to heaven. So the prophets fulfilled their purpose. The apostles and the prophets fulfilled their purpose. Alright? When prophecy ended, so did tongues. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Prophecy is done away with, so is tongue cease. So is knowledge. Sandwiched right in between. If we got all the knowledge we need, then tongues are gone. For tongues were assigned to confirm it. As is given. Not continuing through the centuries. God, once a miracle is confirmed, it's always confirmed. He's always done that. You don't see God still turning rods into snakes. He did that with Moses to confirm that Moses was speaking from God. You see. You don't see pillars of fire and smoke today.
God's still confirming Moses' word. Why? Because Moses' word was confirmed when Moses preached it. You don't see God confirming Jesus and His apostles' word today. Why? Because He confirmed it. You saw it when Jesus' apostles and prophets and Jesus was speaking it. And that's why John will say in John chapter 20 and verse 30, many other things did Jesus do in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written in order that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name.
If tongues were really continued up to now, shouldn't they also have people being raised from the dead, because that was part of the
prophecy? All of it. And some of them claim to do that.
You
got to have all of it. It's all or nothing at all. Now, okay? Right. Now, let's keep going on.
I don't believe I want something better.
Then they'll say, well, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And you have to come back and say, but the Bible says to test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone into the world. 1 John 4, verse 1. Okay. Now, for the one who speaks in a tongue, watch, he's going to contrast. I'm in chapter 14, verse 2. He just gets done telling them, pursue love. That's what do you do when you pursue love? When you pursue somebody or pursue something, then you're tracking them down. You are keeping after it. You're relentless about it. Be relentless about looking after love. That's what he's saying. Yet, desire spiritual gifts. Look at one is pursue love, but desire gifts. Didn't say pursue the spiritual gifts, which tells you an interest, a contrast of interest. Okay, of emphasis. But especially that you may prophesy. Why? For the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. What he's saying is, that's what they were doing. He's stating their abuse. And you've got to mark it down. This verse 2, you've got to make it, put it in your Bible. What he was not saying is what actually happens. When you do speak in tongues all the time, he was saying what was happening when they were doing it. This is the way they were doing it. But Paul corrects them later on in this chapter by telling them, don't do it. If nobody understands you, then shut up. So he's not telling them, look, when one speaks in tongues, he speaks to not to men, but to God. And that's what a lot of people will do today. I'll say, well, there was no interpreter, and they use verse 2. But we're not speaking to men, but to God. So we're not using men's languages, but God's language. Well, if I say you're using, you're not using the language of man. Okay, stop. Wait a minute. You're saying that that's what you're doing. Okay, take that position. Go to Acts chapter 2, and you find out they were speaking men's language. According to them, you're saying, according to your doctrine, are they not speaking the language of God? You see, they can't be consistent. You see their inconsistency with what we can see as a biblical practice of tongue. A biblical practice was speaking in a language, a known language, an observable language, a knowable language of man. Paul is saying, when you speak in tongues, you're not speaking to man, but to God. He's saying what they're doing. Just like in chapter 11, he says, when you're gathering together, it's not to take the Lord's Supper. For each of one of you is bringing his own box lunch, and one is hungry and another one is stuffed. What was he stating? How they should do the Lord's Supper? No. What's happening when you take the Lord's Supper? No. What they were doing. Their abuse. And now he's going to correct it, the next verse. So he's stating their abuse. He's telling them, look, go after prophecy. Why? Because the way you're speaking in tongues, nobody's getting anything but God, not even him, for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. What does he mean? Nobody understands what you're saying. When you're speaking mysteries, you're speaking something which is hidden. But the one who, but, in contrast to that, you know we talked about but before earlier in the night? But, in contrast to that, the one who speaks, one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. Why do you say to go after prophecy? Because what were they doing? they were jabbering in tongues and nobody was getting edified. Correct? So what is verse 2? Verse 2 is a statement of their abuse. What are the Pentecostals use it for? A statement of condoned practice by God. Can you see that? Alright, now, but the one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. Now, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies the church. So somebody says, we speak in tongues. Yeah, verse 4, he's stating their abuse again. He says that the one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You know, so I say, why are you speaking in tongues if there's no unbelievers? Because I get edified. You're not supposed to get edified. Yourself. Yeah, you couldn't get it. So most of them don't read too closely. They skip every other verse. And you'll find as we go through it, it alternates almost every other verse. Their abuse, correction, all the way through the chapter. That's why I said it won't take us long to get through it. But the one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. All right? Now, Paul's going to correct this evil concept and practice. It's a concept that has no love, edifying yourself. But the one who prophesies, what does he do? He edifies the church. Why? What is prophecy? In tongues? You prophesy in tongues? No. You're speaking forth the word of God. What's he telling them to do? Shut up. Stop babbling and jabbering and start prophesying. You need the word of God. Isn't that what he's saying? Okay, let's keep reading. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. I wish that you did. But he didn't say they did. He didn't say they should. In fact, he's going to say all don't do it. But even more that you should prophesy. I wish more that you would prophesy. See, so what does Pentecostal do? He says, oh, I wish that you all speak in tongues. Isn't that wonderful what Paul said? They don't realize what he's saying. Hey, look, I want you to prophesy more than I want you to speak in tongues. And greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues. Unless he interprets that the church may receive edification or edify. In other words, you don't speak in tongues unless you interpret that the church can be built up. But even still, that's not the purpose of tongues. I know, but the point is, we're going to learn there's an abuse there. Because it needs to be in order, and it needs to be no more than three speaking in tongues or prophesying, and that in order. And they remain silent if there is no interpretation. I mean, I've been in groups, I've seen them where they have three or four different interpretations for the same thing. Or some people, two people get up, say two entirely different things, and the interpretation was the same. You know, the babbling was noticeably different. Unless they put the emphasis in the wrong syllable. Anyway. Alright, so now, unless he interprets. So, but the point is this, that they might receive edification. But the point is this, is the purpose of tongues for edifying? No. And he's saying that if you do it, you still got to interpret that somebody might get edified. Well, how do they possibly get edified? Well, just by the fact that, you know, they're hearing them proclaim the good works of God. But that's going to be about it. And that's why he says, don't, you know, I wish you all spoke in tongues, but much rather that you prophesy, because prophecy is what? Edifies the church. It's good for edification, exhortation, and consolation. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall it profit you? His point is nothing. Unless I speak to you either by way of revelation, or of knowledge, or of prophecy, or of teaching, that's what I need to speak to you. It's nothing. Unless when I come to you and I talk to you, I got what? Revelation, knowledge, prophecy, and teaching is nothing. Yet, in other words, you got no profit from me just coming and speaking in tongues to you. Now, a lot of Pentecostal groups today think, wow, we're having a great night. Didn't God bless us? The Holy Spirit was upon us. We had many slain in the Spirit. All right? And the point is, that's not the point. That's not the point at all. You've got to be deaf, dumb, blind, and paralytic to miss it. Unfortunately, there are a lot. Watch, verse 7. Yet even lifeless things, either flute or harp, in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tones, how will it be known what is played on the flute or the harp? What's he saying?
Make sure people understand what you're saying. If somebody just goes, is there any distinction in the tone? Can you know what's being played? What's he illustrating? You're making a lot of noise and no sense, and the only people that are being edified is you. Get your sounds distinct. For what purpose? So people can understand. Okay?
For if a bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle?
You know, nobody knows what's going on.
So also you, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is, underline it, clear.
That sound pretty good? Getting better at it. It's basic sounds I keep making. I always end it with the last sentence this same.
How will he know what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the...
Oh, wait a minute. I heard he said to God before. That's right. That's how the person understands. Into the air.
There are, perhaps, a great many kinds of languages or tongues.
Most versions will say tongues. Languages in the world. In the where? What kind of language is he talking about? What kind of tongues? Is he talking about God's tongue? See, the languages, he's identifying them. Languages of the world. And you want to tie that right in there. Languages of, or languages in the world. And what I do, I'm going to do this, I'm going to say, I'm going to tie 13:1 to this, and 14:2. Just blend it all together.
Okay. There are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world, and no kind. None. There is no language, there is no tongue without distinction or without meaning.
And the reason why I'm stressing this so strongly is because what do they say tongues of angels or God is, and when they try to analyze it, a computer as a language, and they can't. It's just vain gibberish and babbling. It's without meaning. But there is no tongue without meaning. So again, bite the dust, you know?
Verse 11. If then I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be to the one who speaks a barbarian, a foreigner, or an uneducated man. He don't know me from a hole in the wall, he's saying. It'd be like I'd be an Iranian.
That's right. That's what he's saying.
I'd be an out of Mongolian. I'd be a Mongolian or something. And the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me. Even if I do it, if I'm speaking, I'm a barbarian, I'm a foreigner. But the one who speaks, he'd be a foreigner to me. It doesn't do any good, he's saying again. So also you. See, he goes the way back. So also you, verse 9. So also you, verse 12. He's giving the correction. And then he's saying what they're doing and what they better do now. So also you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, aren't they? They were very zealous for spiritual gifts. They weren't zealous for love, were they? He had to tell them, you know, be zealous for love. Pursue love. Love never fails. But now abide in faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. He didn't have to say, pursue spiritual gifts. No, he said desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Why? Because they already were doing that. Boy, they were zealous of spiritual gifts or for spiritual gifts.
seek to abound for edification of the church. Since you want spiritual gifts, then seek after the spiritual gifts that make for edification. Which do that? Well, he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you in verse 22, it's going to be prophecy. Or and he tells you that also in verse 3 here. When prophecy speaks for edification and exhortation and consolation. So don't seek after the tongues then. And in contrast to that, he says, but the one who speaks in the tongue, you don't speak to men, but to God, no one understands him, but his spirit, he speaks mysteries. And the Pentecostal has used that to justify speaking in mysteries. And God, and you can see now, he's clearly condemning what they were doing. He's saying verse 2 is wrong. Okay. Verse 13. Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. The interpretation must follow speaking in tongues. Now, you got to keep in mind this as well. The only way... Yeah. Okay. Ah, the point is this. The tongue, in order for it to be a sign to an unbeliever, he must, first of all, know the persons. For instance, even the Jews from all over, they said, are these not all Galileans? So they knew. You have to know that the person didn't know that language for it to be a sign. Okay? Now, I would have to therefore know that the person, that he didn't study the language. What else would I have to know? I'd have to know the language. I have to know that he is speaking a real language and not just babbling. I have to be able to understand. Would I not? For it to be assigned to me? And we're going to find out that's exactly what he's going to say. Without an unbeliever there, you don't do it. And if an unbeliever is there and there's nobody to interpret it and he don't know you and so forth, he says, be quiet. Shut up. Because he's going to say you're crazy. Which is what we do when we walk into Pentecostal churches. At least I do. I say, these people are nuts. I said, Creedmoor is half empty, not because there's no crazies, because they're in the Pentecostal church. That's true. I mean, you find a whole group of, there's a whole society out there that hears voices and people telling them what color dresses to wear, to work and things now, and getting all kinds of visions and people walking in shopping malls holding their hands. I get them calling me all day from Bible call. 10 years ago, or 15, 20 years ago, they would have been in getting some kind of good psychiatric help. But now they've been let out, and now they form their own society. People that are prone in that direction, and now are being fed and encouraged. It's something that Paul is talking the exact opposite in. Okay, let's keep going. Enough preaching. Pray that he may interpret. Why? So somebody can understand what he's saying. Who? We'll find out. The unbeliever. Verse 22. Okay, 22 and 23. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Okay, that was another abuse. He says praying in tongues is useless. Without any kind of interpretation or anything. Why? Oh, because my spirit prays. You know, I mean, spiritually, there's something going on here, you know. The Holy Spirit's there, and my spirit's praying, and I'm praying in tongues, but what was happening? See, that's what they're doing. That was their abuse. But what happened? But my mind is unfruitful. Is Paul glad about that? Or was he trying to teach them the opposite, that they must have fruit in the mind? What is the outcome then? What's he talking about? I shall pray with the spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. What's he saying? I'm not going to pray in tongues. I am not going to pray in tongues. And I shall sing with the spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also, or with the understanding also, King James will say, I think. So, I'm sure he'll say it with the understanding. So, in case you're wondering what I keep doing here, I'm fixing my back brace. I broke my back when I was in 10th grade. And every once in a while I get twinges and stuff, so I have to wear it. Okay. Now,
Now, is that what he's talking about? Is he talking about, you can see, what he's saying is you can pray with the Holy Spirit, you can pray being spiritual, you can be spiritual when you're praying and in your singing, and you can do it in your own language. You can do it with your understanding. Okay, that's what he's telling them. Verse 16, otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit only, that is without any understanding, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say amen? That's your giving of thanks. Since he does not know what you are saying. What's he saying then when he says, I'm going to pray with the Spirit, I'm going to pray with the understanding, I'm going to sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding. He says, I'm not going to do it in tongues. What do they get out of that verse? Do it in tongues. You can sing and pray in tongues. They've gotten the exact opposite out of it. You don't get it? Is this a problem?
I want to have the opposite out of
that. They do. You never heard of them singing and praying in tongues?
Oh, yeah. No,
this is the verse where they get it from. You don't see how they can do it. I don't either. That's why I said you've got to be deaf, dumb, blind, and paralytic. Not to see it. They don't read the whole thing. They don't read it very closely. They just think that singing with the understanding and praying with the understanding, you can do that when you do tongues. That's not what he was talking about. He says you can't. He says unless one interprets. And in here, in the contrast of verses 15 and 16, he's drawing a contrast between doing it in the foreign language and doing it in your own. And he says, I'm going to do it in my own language. For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. Verse 18. Is he talking about tongues? Yeah. What happens when you give thanks in tongues? The other man is not edified. The Pentecostal church is. Well, obviously they're not part of the Lord's church then, because true edification for the Lord's church comes with understanding. Does it not? Not with ignorance. The Pentecostal church, true edification for them comes from ignorance. Mysteries. Mystery. Oh, they love it. They go into a magic show. Okay? I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Right. And I jump on the next one. However, in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind, or with my understanding, that I might instruct others, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue, or in an unknown tongue. So the mind, speaking with the mind is identified as how? Not in tongues. Correct? You see it? So what was he saying when I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you know? You know why? Because they were boasting themselves that they were greater than Paul, some of them. And by the second book of Corinthians, you'll notice that. They're all puffed up. You know, we're more spiritual than Paul. He thanked God he speaks more than them. You know, and he needs to be thankful to God. But why would he need to, by the way, speak in tongues? No. Prophecy would be edification of the church. What for? Who around all the world, all these nations, establishing churches? But in the church, what would he rather speak? In his own language. In the language everybody understands. Right. So when he goes to other nations, see, they all spoke Greek, the world language. But in their own home, they have their own home dialect, or glossa. Okay, and that what he did is to prove as a sign would be, you know, wacko doing this thing, and they could tell it. He's way from down from there. How would he possibly know this, and so on and so forth? In the church, what would he rather do? Speak in tongues? No. Well, in the Pentecostal church, what would you rather do? Speak in tongues? See, obviously he wasn't a member of the Pentecostal church, or he would rather have spoken tongues. Okay, now, brethren. Do not be children in your thinking. What's the matter? Okay. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking. Yet in evil, be babes. But in your thinking, be mature. Wise up. You know what that means, be mature in your thinking? Wise up in our vernacular. That's an equivalent. In the Lord is written, but men of strange tongues and by lips of strangers, I will speak to this people. Even so, they will not listen to me, says the Lord.
He's talking about Gentiles and so forth, speaking to Jews and so forth, and Jews speaking to Gentiles, right, preaching the gospel, and they wouldn't listen. He's saying, so then, there's proof of verse 21, his interpretation of verse 21. What's verse 21 talking about? That it's a sign to convict people. It's a sign to unbelievers as you're preaching the word to them, and they won't believe. Most of them won't believe. That's what verse 21 said. And he speaks to these people in an unknown tongue, and they don't believe. But the point is, verse 22, so then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy, but, is a sign, is for a sign, not to be to unbelievers. So when an unbeliever comes around, you don't go, hear the word of the Lord, and come in the world, and you start talking, not in tongues, but, you know, prophesying the New Testament, you know, going through this whole thing, because they don't understand. There was no sign in that. There's no proof to them that you're going to speak. So what you do is you see, did Peter in Acts chapter 2 prophesy? Yeah, after he spoke in tongues. The word that he was about to speak was confirmed with a sign. Now he's ready to speak. You got to get their attention. Okay? You don't get their attention saying, I'm speaking the word of the Lord. Yeah, says who? Okay? But prophecy is a sign for the believers, but not for the unbelievers, but for those who believe. If therefore the whole church should assemble together and all speak with tongues, and an ungifted man or unbelievers answer, will they not say, you're crazy? No, this we do that so that they'll say, we're from God. We're confirming the word. No, no, you see, because there's an unbeliever coming into your midst. The church is what's assembled, not the people, you see. And a person comes in, and he don't know you from a hole in the wall, like we were just showing before. He's going to say, you're nuts. Look at these people. What are they doing? This little gibberish babbling. Okay? These people are crazy. But if all prophesy, that is, if they're speaking the word of God so that they can understand it, and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. And by the way, when somebody comes into the assembly of the Lord's church, we're supposed to just make him feel like he's right at home. He is convicted by the preacher. That's the preacher's job. Convicted by all. That meant all the preachers, right? No? That meant all. And he is called to account by the elders. No, he's called to account by all. And what else does he do? And the secrets of his heart are disclosed. Well, you open his heart with what? The word. What does the word do? It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions, or judgments and intentions. It can judge the thoughts and intentions of a man's heart, right? Hebrews 4 verse 12. I want to write that right in there, by his heart. Hebrews 4 verse 12. Secrets of his heart are disclosed. So he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. What is the outcome then, brethren? All right. Now I've stated all your abuses and all the correct uses and the right use of these things, what they're for, right, what is your action supposed to be? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, and each has a teaching, and each has a revelation, and each has a tongue and has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Now, if all things are done for edification, what have we learned about tongues? They don't even have a place hardly. Not in the church. Right? And if anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two, or at the most, 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 12 and a 9. At the most, 3. And then all at once, no, each in turn, one after another, in order. Oh, it destroys them. And let two or three interpret. But if there is no interpreter, praise God through tongues because it's an angelic language and it cannot be interpreted. No, let him keep silent in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Keep it to yourself. And that's what they're saying. I'm not speaking to man, I'm speaking to God and to myself. And they use this verse plus 14 verse 2. But he's telling them in contrast. And so instead of speaking in a tongue, let him speak to God himself. Be quiet. Be silent in the church, he just said. And let two or three prophets speak. Two or three prophets speak. And let the others pass judgment. That is, on what they, you know, what they say. A Christian needs to pass judgment, by the way. Is another one of the verses that you need to judge. Here you need to judge the Word of God. When I speak forth the Word of God from the pulpit, don't you judge as to whether or not that's the Bible or not? Don't you? Don't I ask you to look at the verse? Don't you look at the verse? Don't you see whether it's in the Bible or not? Let the others pass judgment. That doesn't mean that we'll decide later on whether we're going to accept Kent and what he preached this morning. Hey, look, it's the Word of God, that's it. You're passing judgment on whether or not it's God's Word. Well, they had others had the gift of prophecy as well. They could tell whether it matched up exactly. You compare it to what you've heard before. Whether it's consistent with the Word of God. Okay? There was the gift of the discerning of spirits and other things that they had too. Alright. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, let the first keep silent. So here the Holy Spirit has got, the guy is prophesying. He's got, you know, he's prophesying the Word of God. Now he's preaching about it, and so on and so forth. And now there's a revelation made known to another guy over here. See? And a revelation is made known to him. So he stands up. And he starts. So did they stand up when they preached? Let the first be what? So he was what? Okay. So the position that they were doing is that anyway, was standing. Alright? And let the first one do what? Keep prophesying, keep speaking. And so you got one person on this side saying one thing, this guy over here saying one thing. Even if it's in English, let alone tongues, one at a time, fellas. One at a time. So if the preacher's preaching, and one had received a revelation back then, preacher had to sit down. Now, the point is this, you had control. It wasn't that they didn't have control. All of a sudden they stood up. Said, 73, you know. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for proof, for correction, for teaching, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished with every good deed. It didn't go like that. Okay? Because we're going to find out that you can't even say, which would be their next response, well, you know, I couldn't help myself. The Spirit got control. Took me over. Well, we're going to see that in a minute. Why not? For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. Here's love again, isn't it? See? We're all the tongue, huh? Verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to prophets. Don't tell me you don't have control. I just couldn't help myself. I didn't know what I was doing. I ran around the auditorium three times. Oh, wait a minute. I thought you didn't know what you were doing. Didn't know what I was doing. Couldn't control myself. Baloney. You're a liar. Then it wasn't the Spirit of God. See, their argument is the spirits of the prophets, the subject under the... Not of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. What would it be the way you see it in the Pentecostal church today? Confusion. God's not the author of that. You know God's not behind it. Is God behind tongues that are being spoken today? No way. No way. If there is biblical tongues for today, they aren't being spoken. Okay? And there are. As far as biblical tongues given by inspiration, miracle. And then, another beautiful thing they ignore. Verse 34. What about, he's still dealing with tongues, by the way, and prophets. Ever hear a woman speak in tongues? Okay, let the women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. But let them subject themselves, just as also the law says, and if they desire to learn anything, let them jump up and speak in tongues and interpret. No. Let them, and all at the same time, let them ask their husbands at home, or their men at home. Because somebody will say, what happens if you don't have a husband? Well, then they can jump up. No, then they can't jump up. It's literally, there is no word for husband, it's man. Let them ask their men at home, if they be the brother, father, sister, uncle.
You know what's funny? Brother. I've heard said that this was for them, but yet all the other stuff still in now.
Yeah, right.
A guy
in
Bible
called
from
this,
before he started and shut up.
Oh, I see. Is it desire or anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in the church. No, I didn't say because it's improper for them to gossip and go on and on and on. It says it's improper for them to speak. And that's why you'll notice when I'm asking for songs, even song selections, I try to ask that the women will kind of give their request to the guy next to them, and they don't yell out, shout out in the assembly, you know, what they have to say. And this is, by the way, speak, not sing. It didn't say it's not permitted for them to sing, but to speak, that is verbalize, you know, words, preaching. And here in the context, what does it involve? Prophesying, revelation, giving the word of God. What's come, right? That's the context. Keep it in mind. Don't forget now. Was it from you that the word of God first went forth? Was it come to you only? Neither one of those questions can be answered yes. Number one, it didn't come from them, and number two, it didn't go to them only. Then why did he ask that? Because that was their immature, ungodly response. The Corinthians. Their response would be, wait a minute, what is he saying? He's saying we're not Christians, but look at this, we've got the gifts of God here. You know, what is he saying that we're improper? And the other thing, he says, wait a minute, did the word of God come from you? No. Who brought it to you? I did. And the Jews did. But did it come to you only? No, it was proclaimed in all the world. So don't act on get off your off. You know? Get off your huff. Don't say you can't control it, and don't say that you were the only one that had it, or that it came from you, that you are this great source of spiritual leadership for the whole church to look at. And if anyone thinks that he's a prophet or spiritual, and that's exactly what he's talking about, you see the next verse says it, let him recognize that these things that I write unto you are the Lord's commandment. And that's what I try to finish up with when I study with Pentecostals regarding this chapter. It's not Kent. It's the Lord's commandment. Now what are you going to do about it? Shut up? And repent and shut up?